John Houghton with New Media Currents here at the Web 2.0 Expo in San Francisco. I'm here with Robert Scoble. How you doing, Robert?
Hey, really well. Having fun. Broadcasting live on the internet.
Good. So are you broadcasting right now on your camera? But your camera's pointed away. It's
Good on you.
There we go. So this is a simul podcast. So a lot of really exciting things going on right now in media, and this is New Media Current, so we deal with media. I mean, what's your perspective on where things are going with blogging, with podcasting, with wikis? What are you seeing?
Oh, man. The number of people doing it is increasing around the world, so it's bringing more interesting information every day to me. In the last 6 months, Twitter got hot. I don't know. Have you seen Twitter yet? Okay, Twitter's a microblogging service, so you can write 140-character posts each, and there's about 100,000 people on it, and it's doubling every week or so in terms of users. And what I found is during events, it's incredible for organizing dinners at the South by Southwest conference. I said, hey, anybody want to meet for barbecue? And in 2 minutes, I had 30 people. Or during the Mexico City earthquake last week, there were 6 people on Twitter live in Mexico City who were reporting what they were hearing. And they actually saw that Chris Perillo was doing one of these live video shows on Ustream. And one of them called up Chris Perillo's show and was actually live video on the internet talking, you know, from Mexico City about his experiences. And so I see a lot more people doing the live stuff, a lot more people doing Twitter, which is a way to tell people, you know, it's sort of what you had for lunch, but it's also a way to say, hey, I just saw a cool website, or I just was in an earthquake, or, you know, or I just saw, you know, a shooting on campus, something like that, you know, and just real fast posting where a lot of people can watch those posts. And then add that on top of Maps. And there's already a service called Twitter Vision where you can see where the Twitterers are coming from around the world. So somebody in Australia has probably just wrote a Twitter, and that'll pop up in Australia. And then somebody in California wrote one, and it'll pop up on California. And somebody in Mexico City writes one, and it pops up in Mexico City.
So is Twitter mostly text, or does that involve video?
140 characters of text. And you can do it from your cell phone or from your laptop.
Which is why it's 140 characters.
Yes. Yeah. Wow. So you can do it from SMS, and you can get your friends, you can subscribe or friend your friends and watch them Twitter you on your cell phone. So, you know, if you're trying to organize a party or something, it's fun to do that through there.
So you're seeing a lot more streaming and a lot more live. Now, is this more personal blogging, or is this sort of micro around a niche interest where you're sort of covering news and covering events?
Well, the live thing started taking off because of Justin. Justin's a kid here in San Francisco who wears a wireless camera 24 hours a day, you know, while he's sleeping, while he's going to the bathroom, everything, all right? So, and I'm not doing that, right? I'm doing similar technology, although I'm using a cheaper system than he has. He actually has 4 EVDO modems in his backpack. So as he's walking around town, it's actually multiplexing the 4 modems together to get better bandwidth. And he's also has a whole computer in his backpack with a huge battery. And I'm just using a laptop with a cheap camera and a 1 EVDO modem. So
what about networks that don't let you stream, like Verizon and Sprint?
I'm using Verizon, and I'm going to get kicked off at some point. So,
so you're
breaking the TOS, the Terms of Service for Verizon, which says you're not allowed to stream out and you're not allowed to use more than 5 gigabytes. But on Monday, I was streaming for 6 hours, and I used about 700 megabytes. So that's why I'm not doing it 24 hours a day. I'm going to do it for very specific events and play around with the technology, but probably other than Monday and today, I'm not going to be doing the streaming thing. It's very exhausting, by the way, because you're always on and you're trying to give people something interesting to watch, you know, and that's an interesting process all unto itself. Most of the time, I'm just typing on the keyboard, and that's pretty boring.
So any ways in which corporations can use some of the things you're talking about, like live streaming?
Well, certainly for press conferences, right? You know, if you're going to announce a product, why not do it on a streaming system like this?
Who's
angles to get people, you know, live watching it and seeing what you're trying to do and what you're trying to bring out? You know, if you're announcing a new car at General Motors, why not have an employee wear one of these things and walk around the car and interact with the designers and explain what the car, what's cool about the car, you know? So I'm sure there's going to be several uses like that. In news, I'm certain this is going to be used very shortly. In fact, yesterday, or the, on on Monday during the shooting in Virginia Tech, there was a student who was using Ustream and was reporting live from his point of view. So
you use Ustream, and so do you have a specific URL that you point people to, or can they just go and search for you?
It's ustream.tv, and then you click through it and search for the chat rooms you want, because there's several people broadcasting live on Ustream. So Chris Prillo has a show, Jeremiah is walking around here with a camera, and there's several people who are doing shows.
And so your uplink is Verizon, and you're using that now?
Verizon wireless USB modem, and it goes, yeah, it does pretty good. You get... Most people are seeing maybe 5 to 15 frames a second. The new Nokia N95 phone, I heard you can get that to work up to 30 frames a second on online streaming. So it's going to be a cell phone world really fast. You know?
So one thing about production standards, some of these larger companies, you mentioned GM doing a press conference, and you know, my company also does production. We do higher-end stuff, and so we try and you know, talk about the value of that, but a lot of stuff's going on. Like probably the production values of wearing a cam on your hat is not as high as what you'd get like if you brought out a camera crew and so on and so forth. Do you have any thoughts on that?
They're two different things. I mean, live video has its place because it's very believable, very authentic, very now. You can tell nobody played with the video. You can tell there's not a committee behind me, you know, telling me what to do and what angles to shoot. And you can tell that it's not made up that much. You know, I didn't put makeup on you. I didn't put lighting on you. I didn't put an audio crew with a really high-tech microphone on you. You know, in other words, I didn't make you other than what you are, right? And the professional video crews are all about making you something you're not, right? Photoshopping your image almost, you know. And that comes off as slick, right, which works well for some things. If you're doing a TV commercial on Lost, for instance, you better have that kind of quality level so that it fits into that context, right? But the internet is all about, you know, starting conversations and doing things in an authentic way and in a niche way, not in a broadcast model, right?
So it sounds like there's a place for both. You know, you have your slick productions, and then you have some, maybe you have a portion of... you know, some channel where somebody would be wearing, like, a cam on their hat.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised, though, if you see a Super Bowl commercial done with live camera technology like this, because the authenticism of it comes through, and also the genre of having a little shaky camera with a fuzzy camera on somebody's hat that's walking through a crowd or something like that is going to be appealing. You know, TV commercials are about being different, right? Sticking out from the crowd. So if everybody's doing slick video, the first guy who does unslick video is going to get noticed, right? And then after everybody starts copying that format, then the guy who does the slick video is going to get noticed.
It's kind of like doing old style movies.
Yep. Yeah.
Any other things that you're seeing with futures and with blogging? And do you blog now as much as you do video, or are you doing video more?
Well, I'm doing a video show, so that I have my HD camera behind you. And yeah. And I've been working hard on that because that's just becoming something interesting, right? I'm getting calls from interesting people. I was on John Edwards' plane when he announced for president, and, you know, I get to interview Bill Gates and John Chambers and Jonathan Schwartz. And, you know, I was at eBay yesterday. You know, those were the eBay guys. And, you know, so I get to see some incredible stuff, and I want to record that and put it out so people can watch it, you know. But text is still the best way for me to communicate because it's fast. It's easy for a lot of people to read. It gets you in search engines. Video, you have to put a lot of metadata around the video to get into the search engines. Google doesn't find stuff in the videos. It's opaque to Google. So doing a blog post is still better than a video in a lot of ways. It's also very expensive to do video in terms of time, because I can do a blog post in like Mike Arrington at TechCrunch and I talk about this all the time. It takes him 15 minutes to do a blog post, right? Some PR guy calls him on the phone, says, hey, we're just about to announce XYZ gadget. Here's what it does. Here, I'll email you a screen capture. And he interviews him or her, or gets the CEO on the phone and interviews him or her. And in 15 to 30 minutes, he's written out a blog post. I have to actually go to where that CEO is, or that CEO has to visit me. That requires a little bit more organization. Then I have to, you know, bring a camera, I have to film it, and then Rocky has to take my tape and convert it to digital format, edit it, and then recompress it, and then upload it. That's a 3-hour process there, a 4-hour process.
Yeah, he's going quick.
Yeah, and that's if I kept it pretty short, you know. I like doing hour-long interviews. So
what else were we talking about? Okay, video versus text. Yeah. I mean, so, well, a lot of websites are going more towards Flash and Ajax and so on and so forth. Do you see a day when it'll become easy to publish in Flash with video and audio and text, so you could, like...
It's pretty easy to publish. I mean, you get a standard still camera, you know, which has a video switch, and you can actually record, you know, a little Nikon or a Canon camera. You can record that on video, right? And then you just drag the file onto a service like Blip TV or YouTube or Google Video, and it goes right up. You got video, and then you can embed that player right in your text blog, and you write some text around it, and you can drag a photo over from Flickr and put the photo. So it's not that hard.
I mean, HTML and video, right? But I'm like all in one, like in one Flash file, you would load in your text, your video, make it interactive and navigate through kind of like a DVD navigation.
The company, there is a player coming out that will let you mix text and video and photos in the same player, same stream that's coming down. But I don't know. That model isn't as interesting to me. I want to write text, and then I want to put a video, and then I want to put a photo, then I want to put, you know, some Flash animation or something. I want to keep those separate. I don't want those in the same player.
You want it mashed up.
Not necessarily. Not unless I'm doing a story for Apple TV, and then I'm doing something different than I'm doing on the blog. That's creating a photo story or something like that. And you might look at Scrapblog for that, which lets you mash together photos and video and text and a really cool-looking design. And the whole thing is Flash, right? Scrapblog is the whole UI that you're looking at is Flash. That's why they get a much more rich graphical look than you're able to with HTML.
With web pages and TCP/IP and all this, do you think see things moving more towards Flash and as a standard and definitely more towards multimedia? Where's that all going?
Some of it will move to Flash. Flash is, again, opaque to Google.
Yeah, Google can't see it.
And also, there's some things that just don't work well. You know, if you're just trying to put text out there, stay with HTML. It's the best format for getting the widest reach, right? Flash so far has, I think, 89 or... they just reported numbers, 89%, but that means... 11% of the web still can't look at your stuff, right?
I think for Flash 8, it's 94% now. Okay. So I just talked to Adobe again.
It's a pretty high number, but that, you know, out of 600 million people or however many people are on the web, if there's 5% that can't look at your stuff, that's still a significant number of people.
Yeah, that's kind of bad. Yeah.
You know, so I always say stay with the lowest common denominator for what you can, and then when you need more, you know, you need a graphical, richer graphical thing, then go to Flash. You know, for instance, finance.google.com, Google's finance site, you know, the outside of the site is text, but then the graphic, the chart is in Flash.
Yeah.
So only use a piece of it for Flash. Don't try to do the whole site in Flash. I don't see the whole site going to Flash. Scrapblog might be an exception to that, but...
Unless Google starts reading images and being able to index that kind of stuff.
But you're still heavier weight, and you're still it's not going to work on some cell phones. I would still recommend use the right tool for the job,
right tool for the job today. But we're also talking about the future, though, so it's probably going that direction, integration.
I would say it's going to go more rich graphical, right? So it's going to be either... you know, WPF or whatever they call it now, Silverstream at Microsoft, right? Adobe's doing Apollo and Flash and Flex. Laszlo has a platform for a Flash-like experience for building Flash experiences. Yeah, it's going to head toward that way, but I still think there's... Most of the world is going to be HTML for a long time, you know, on the web, because it's just the best way to get data around, right? Keep the stuff lightweight. You know, otherwise, you got to wait for a big applet to come down. You know.
I see you spend a lot of time on the road. How do you integrate that with family? And what is your family say? And how do you handle all that?
A lot of times, I bring them along. So.
Yeah.
But lately, I'm turning down a lot of speaking engagements to try to stay home, because I was just getting burned out going to too many conferences, you know, and too many events and too many dinners. This week has been another one of those weeks, you know, a dinner every night or a party, you know, several, Monday night there was several parties, and last night, you know, I was here in town. So, and I have a kid on the way, so coming in September, so I got to slow things down, put the brakes on. You know, I had my fun, now it's time to be a family guy again. Yeah.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, Robert Scoble, nicest guy in the world. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you very much.